If I were to tell you that you could play a vital part in a campaign to take the gospel to every part of Northern Ireland, would you be interested? I'm sure you would. And if I were to say that you could make an important contribution to this campaign by giving the amount of money that normally you'd be spending on such common commodities as a few bottles of shampoo, or for the guys, a few tubs of Brill cream, or a bunch of flowers. And not that I'm an expert in that realm, but I would imagine you'd get a fair number of flowers, wouldn't you, for round about £10 or thereabouts. £10 is a ballpark figure that we're speaking about in the campaign, but if further and higher contributions can be given, we'd be delighted by that. But given the fact we spend this on these common commodities, would you sign up to this campaign? I trust you would. It's time to get out and dust down that old wartime slogan, "Your country needs you." Only this time it's your church needs you, or better still, the Lord needs you. And there's no doubt as we look over the darkness of our country in these days that people need the Lord. I'm reminded of the words of the hymn writer when he says, "God above desires it. Sinful man requires it. Then tell it around, let it abound. There's life in the risen Lord." Spreading the message of the gospel is what our Doing Something More for God campaign is about. A little background. In January 2009, a group of atheists in England launched their attack on Bible Christianity. It wasn't much of a launch, but it featured one of the stormtroopers of atheism today, Oxford professor Richard Dawkins. With his help, the British Humanist Association raised the sum of £140,000. That allowed them to send 800 buses rolling through some of the major cities and towns of the country, carrying the atheist slogan, "There is probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life." Not that this assault really surprised us. 3,000 years ago, through the mouth of the psalmist, God gave his verdict on such atheistic utterances. Psalm 14 and verse 1, for example, we have his answer, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And God further describes the atheists as, "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And again in the same psalm, we are given the solution to this problem. And the solution to the rise of atheism is the return of the Lord among his people in his saving strength. Then when God appears and he's in the generation of the righteous, verse 5 of Psalm 14 tells us the atheist will be in great fear. And an appeal is set out in verse 7 of that same psalm, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad," and we want our nation again to be rejoicing under the sound of the gospel of the grace of God. Question was, would we be seeing one of those atheist buses going around the streets of Northern Ireland? We didn't know. But as the chairman of the Government and Morals Committee, I suggested to the General Presbytery in February that if this atheist bus campaign was brought to the transport system in Northern Ireland, a response would be appropriate. An appropriate response was given in England, including the Trinitarian Bible Society's efforts. They sponsored posters on 100 London buses carrying a quotation from Psalm 53, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Their £35,000 campaign also included an offer of a free Bible. Reverend George Hargreaves, the leader of the Christian Party, ran adverts on 50 bendy buses that proclaimed, in a more colourful take on the atheist campaign, "There definitely is a God. So, join the Christian Party and enjoy your life." However, over the course of February, all of our scouting missions failed to detect the appearance of one atheist bus on the Ulster horizon. They had transferred at this time the resources to Spain. You would have found them in Italy. They were operating in Canada, also in the United States. But they didn't seem to have plans to spread their blasphemies in our part of the world. This fact encouraged a thought that had already been forming in my mind. Why should we embark on a purely reactionary campaign, allow the atheists to put words in our mouths, dictate our agenda, and end up with us sending out a thoroughly negative message? Surely it would be much better if we could give a positive presentation of the gospel. Sort of ignore the atheists and preach the cross. Let's channel our energies into a solid gospel campaign that will be Christ-centered and Christ-exalting. This kind of campaign would help us refocus our energies, remind us of our chief purpose in the world, and show to this country what we are really about. This idea was enthusiastically and unanimously adopted by Presbytery when I presented it in March 2009. The green light for this campaign was full on. Our overall aim in the crusade is to present the gospel to as many people as possible, using every facility the media provides. That would be billboards, bus adverts, the use of the internet, and to enthuse our congregations with an evangelistic zeal. I guess excite and unite is what we're hoping for, to stir up the hearts of God's people so that they bring their energies to bear on this gospel campaign. A subcommittee of the Government and Morals Committee has been founded to oversee the project. Reverends Robert Omerod, David Smith, David McLaughlin, and myself are involved. This, of course, is the 150th anniversary of a tremendous work of God known in this province as the 1859 Revival. Reverend J.H. Moore, minister of the Presbyterian Church in Connor, was a great believer in appointing his members to some definite work in the church. He urged some of his more promising young men to do something more for God. And he encouraged them further with the words, "Could you not gather at least six of your careless neighbours and spend an hour with them in reading and searching the Word of God?" Those young men were James McCulkin, John Wallace, and Robert Carlyle, and they responded favourably to the challenge to attempt something more. We joined together with Jeremiah Manili and commenced the Tawny Brack Sunday School, followed by a Bible class for the parents of the children. In the autumn of 1857, the teachers of this little school again did something more. These four men started the prayer meeting that became the harbinger of the 1859 revival. They were greatly encouraged by what God had done through the prayers of George Mueller, and they learned the secret of true intercession from him, and the Spirit of God came pouring into this newly opened channel. Within a short space of time, 100,000 souls were swept into the kingdom in that year of grace. This 150th anniversary year of the 1859 revival presents us with a golden opportunity to do something more for God. You may ask the question, where can I learn about this campaign? We are increasing awareness using, for one method, this promotional DVD. Also look out for an information leaflet entitled Doing Something More for God that will contain essential details of our campaign. You may be able to log on to a blog, kind of an internet diary that I have recently created to give you all the up-to-date releases on what is happening. Doing Something More for God.blogspot.com. And then when the campaign swings into action in the months of September and October of this year, you'll find that the first stage of our campaign is church banners and an internet site. We'll have a banner outside each of our churches advertising the crusade. carrying the theme of our outreach to the minds of the people around, and churches can use the banner, given the final line of it can be changeable, to advertise any local missions. We're posting up an internet site containing a small number of gospel tracts and a few short video clips. Stage two will involve billboards and shop lights. We'll have around about 8 billboards in Belfast, and then 60 shop lights advertising our message outside the main shopping centres province-wide. These will be going out on the weeks of the 7th through to the 20th of September. The third stage of the campaign will involve the buses. That'll be weeks 3 and 4 of our gospel advertising crusade. Each day, 1,600 buses travel throughout our country. The average bus journey, I'm informed, is 20 minutes. And we plan to place adverts along the side of 300 buses and inside a further 300 buses. So 600 buses in all taking our message out. That will mean more than one third of the bus transport systems covered, and all of the major and many of the minor routes throughout the country will be saturated by the message of the gospel of the grace of God. The fourth stage will involve gospel tract distribution. This will take place during the same time that the billboards are going up, the bus ads are being shown, and the shop lights are being displayed. The first leg of the tract distribution will use the Royal Mail door-to-door service. We're informed that there are 741,000 households in the country, and all of these will be targeted by that Royal Mail campaign. 250,000 tracts then, in addition to that, will be made available to our churches to distribute in their areas. There will be a place on the back of the tracts for local information, and that will give you a big chance to become involved in the campaign, be it in the printing of stickers to provide that local information, or in the peeling off and the application of stickers to the back of the tracts, or indeed in sending out those tracts into the local community. The fifth stage will be regional gospel rallies. Weeks 5 and 6 of the campaign, we would envisage these rallies taking place. We have some venues chosen around the country: Belfast, Londonderry, Ballymena, other places. And we'll want you to encourage others to attend. Bring your friends along. Advertise these regional rallies through your local church adverts. And may it be that many people will come and hear the gospel at these rallies. Stage 6 in our campaign will be some local meetings or missions, and that's over to your church to organise what will happen there. Maybe you'll have a harvest mission. Maybe you'll have a number of meetings, and you'll be able to use all of the printed material that we have in the hands of the printers. He's got the templates, and you can use that for your local evangelistic thrust. The big question is, can we do this? Brings us into the realm of cost. And the necessary consideration is, how do we finance this great project? The leaflets and the DVDs that will tell our people about the campaign, we're reckoning round about £1,000. Banners for the churches will cost £10,500. In addition to that, setting up a website, procuring the web domain, the cost of design, maintaining the website will cost round about £1,000. We're being generous on that one. We have an advertising package already negotiated regarding all of our billboards, all of our shop lights, and all of the bus ads, and that's costing £28,500. When we go into the province-wide tract distribution, using the Royal Mail door-to-door delivery service for all the 741,000 homes in the province, we're talking again over £29,000. And when we produce our two main gospel tracts, that's 1 million pieces of gospel literature going out across the province, we're talking a further £20,000 plus. All of this brings us to a grand total of around £100,000. Some additional costs could well be incurred, and we'll factor them in as the hire of regional venues, school assembly halls are probably the most cost effective, and if we should at our regional rallies decide that it would be good to put into the hand of every person who attends a free DVD, again, another gospel outreach, that will be some additional cost. How will we meet this kind of outlay? Well, let's remind ourselves that whenever the Tsunami Relief Fund was set up, the fund quickly topped £100,000. Also, the atheists and their bus campaign were very fast to reach the target of £140,000. So our appeal is to each member and to each congregation. And if we target the figure of £100,000 and reach that, and if we succeed in getting much more than that, well, the more money we bring in, the more we can do in this crusade. But if we have 10,000 free Presbyterians across the country, each of them donating £10 each, we already would have reached our target. Everything else will be a bonus that will be used in this campaign. I'm wondering by this stage, are you still on board? And I trust that you are, that together, let's spread the word. Exalt our Saviour. Evangelise our fellow countrymen in a way that has never been attempted before. And enjoy the blessing that God provides. Let's really do something more for God.